2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you for the opportunity that we can come and hear it preached. God, we'd ask that you would anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power for this task. Help him. Be with him. Father, for our sakes, the listeners, help us to hear what you have to give us today. Help us to put it in practice. And Father, if there be one in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, God, I pray today they would trust him to forgive them of their sins so that they can have eternal life in heaven. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, now I'm going to ask that you sit very still and listen carefully, please. Also make sure that your electronic devices are on vibrate or turned off, whatever the case may be, so they don't go off during the service. Check that. If your cell phone goes off during the service, we will hit you with a frozen turkey. And so please help us with that in honor of Thanksgiving. And so help us there this morning. We have been talking about analogies from the Word of God that teach us what the Christian life is supposed to be like. We talked to you about the analogy of family, how God uses the analogy in the Bible of the father-child relationship to teach us what the Christian life is supposed to be like. We talked to you about the analogy in the Bible of an athlete, the analogy of running a race from Hebrews. This morning, I want to talk to you about the analogy of being a soldier. Being a soldier. So that's not for everybody, Pastor Johnson. As we read 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning, I didn't see anyone being dismissed from the army of God. Man or woman, makes no difference. Friend, look at me. When you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you became a part of God's army. And we are soldiers, the Bible says. Now, I want you to keep your Bibles open in 2 Timothy. We're going to move around just a little bit this morning in the Scriptures. But in this week of celebrating Veterans Day, and in this week when one of our veterans, one of our men, Brother Howe, went to heaven, I think it's very appropriate that we talk about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Of course, you understand there's all kinds of soldiers, yes? Having traveled a little bit, it's always interesting to me to look at the military in other places in the world. Some of them, third world countries, they all wear different kinds of uniforms, and one will wear a shirt from this, another one will wear a pants from that, one guy will have a pair of jeans on and a pair of tennis shoes and an army helmet on carrying an AK-47. He's in their army. And it's always interesting to see the soldiers in other places in the world. Do you know something, ladies and gentlemen? The Bible says that you and I, as Christians, need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Not just a soldier, but good soldiers of Jesus Christ. How many were ever in the military before? The military, would you raise your hand? You found in the military that there are good soldiers and there are bad soldiers. I'll never forget one of the conflicts in Iraq, either the first or the second, or the third. Some of the men who had joined up, soon as the battle started, went to their commanding officers and insisted that they get out of the military. And the reasoning some of these men gave was this: I didn't join to fight any battles. And I thought, now that's stupid. That's like getting a football helmet on and the pads and getting on the football field but saying, but I'm not here to hit anybody. I'm just here to run up and around in the field. You know, the truth of the matter is, good soldiers and bad soldiers. I remember them when I was in the military. Bad soldiers are people who had bad attitudes, didn't want to do what they were supposed to do. They just endured the time that they had in serving their country. And to be honest with you, they didn't serve their country very well at all. Now, good soldiers, they called them gung-ho. That guy's a gung-ho soldier. I mean, he is after this thing. A good soldier. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a Christian this morning, you are a child of God. Whether you realize it or not, you are a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible does not tell us to be soldiers for Jesus Christ. Look at it again, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2 in verse number 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now then, as the old song says, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation park. It's a fight and not a game. If we're soldiers, and that must mean there's a conflict of some kind. That must mean there's a price that needs to be paid. That must mean there's something to this other than a casual, laid back, just let it happen, sloppy, agape kind of Christianity. We need to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Our church and churches like this, independent, fundamental, soul winning, separated, King James, Bible preaching, hellfire and damnation, Baptist churches are called militant fundamentalist churches. Now that's an expression that's usually used as a derogatory term because of the militant Muslims and because of the militants in other groups that create, do stupid things. We're not stupid because we're so intelligent. We never do stupid things. But the truth of the matter is, friend, the only kind of Christian life is a militant Christian life. This casual stuff is not what God intended. Otherwise, he would have used a different analogy. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we'll go over there in a moment. It says we need to take unto us the whole armor of God. Now, you only need armor because you're in a battle. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 12, we're told to take the armor of light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7, we're supposed to take on the armor of righteousness. The idea is throughout the Word of God, there is this analogy that we are soldiers for God as His children. And then the admonition of 2 Timothy is, be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes a good soldier? Well, number one is enlistment. Enlistment. As a good soldier would do, a good soldier enlists to serve their leader and to serve their country. To enlist, you agree to join and accept the terms of enlistment. I remember being sworn in at, and then later I'd be sworn at, but sworn in there at the AFES in Los Angeles, where all the soldiers would come from Southern California, came to the AFES Center, and then you came in, you went through your physical and all the things that you had to do to make sure you were of sound mind and body. And then you agreed to sign up. Then you came back later on for your swearing-in ceremony. I showed up. I was in Southern California. I was in Newport Beach. I grew up a beach kid, beach bum down there. I showed up at my swearing-in ceremony to join the United States military wearing a Hawaiian shirt, a pair of swimming trunks, and a pair of sandals. And I'm sitting on the front row of the enlistment place, and a Marine, sharp-looking Marine lieutenant, black man, walks in, and I'm sitting on the front row like this, flipping my hair. It was the 70s. Flipping my hair. Guy walks in, he goes, "What are you doing here?" I go, "Signing up." He goes, "What branch of the service are you going in?" I said, "Air Force." He goes, "Good." I said, "What?" And that day, we stood, raised our hands, and enlisted in the United States military to serve our country and defend the Constitution of the United States of America. You enlist. A good soldier enlists. Listen to me. You're not a soldier because you wear the uniform. You know, you can go down to the Army Navy stores, the military surplus stores. You can buy uniforms, wear them. Does that make you a soldier? Because you wear the soldier. You wear the uniform of a soldier. Are you a soldier because you're one of these guys who run around out in the woods painting up camo, shooting at each other with paintballs? And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a lot of fun. But does that make you a soldier? Look at me. Are you a soldier because you declare yourself to be a soldier? No, you have to enlist. Listen carefully now. To enlist as a soldier in the Lord's army, you have to enlist on God's terms, not your terms. You're not a soldier for Jesus Christ because you go to church. You're not a soldier for Jesus Christ because you declare yourself a Christian. You have to enlist on God's terms, not your terms. And how you enlisted, or are you just playing soldier? Too many people are wearing the uniform. They look like Christians. They act like Christians. They talk like Christians. They do what Christians do, but they have never enlisted in the army of God. They have never raised their hand and looked up to Jesus Christ and acknowledged Him as Savior and Lord and believed that Christ died for their sins and was buried for their sins and rose again for their sins and accepted Christ's payment for their salvation and nothing else. And say, I swear, I promise today that Christ, have you sworn your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ? That He is your Savior, or do you have a divided allegiance today? Do you understand salvation, that it's salvation through Christ and baptism, salvation through Christ and church, salvation through Christ and something else, or are you just simply trusting Christ as your Savior? See, I didn't realize that day in that AFES building there in Los Angeles when I raised my hand and I said I do and I swore allegiance to my country as a member of the United States military. I did not know all it encompassed. I just knew I wanted to join up. And I knew I couldn't get in until I met them on their terms. Now that's what salvation is, friend. Look at me. Salvation is not God coming to you on your terms. Salvation is you coming to God on His terms. And Jesus Christ is the terms for approaching God. That Christ died for us, that He was buried, that He rose again. Acts 4:12, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You have to come to God through Christ or you don't come. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Don't wear the uniform of the Christian, friend. Accept Christ. He'll give you the uniform that you need. I'll never forget. When I was in, after boot camp, I was in training school. And they had, as they do in the military, they have men and women in the military. Now, sometimes the women in the military are not what you would call the most delicate flowers on the planet. In fact, some of them used to scare me to death, quite frankly. And we were in our classroom, and there was many guys and girls in this classroom. I was a single GI at the time. And I looked across the classroom, and there was this really nice-looking girl. I was sitting with my buddy, Swede. I said, Swede, look at that girl over there. She's in our class. We're going to be 16 weeks in classrooms with this girl. We're going to have to get to know her. She's a cutie. I said, so then the instructor went around in the classroom, and he said, let me ask you what your name is, where you're from, why did you join the Air Force? So each person told their name, and it comes to this girl. I go, watch this, Swede, watch this. She stands up, and she goes, my name is, I forgot what her name is now. And I come from so-and-so, and I joined the Air Force so I could get an Army jacket. I turned to Sweet and go, she's yours. Whoa. Dumb as a rock. Whoa. You got to be kidding me. Signed 4 years of your life away to get a jacket you could pay 10 bucks for down the Army and surplus store? That's insane. No, I'm a Christian. I got baptized. That doesn't make you a Christian. I'm a Christian. I believe in God. That doesn't make you a Christian. See, we make salvation on our terms and don't get salvation. You enlist by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's how you get in the army. You say, I trust Christ as my Savior, and not words, a commitment of the heart, a determination that you realize you're lost and you trust Christ as your Savior. No commitment of life, commitment of a lost soul to Christ for salvation. And you ask Him and He saves you. You're a good soldier, then you enlisted. Number two, a good soldier has the equipment. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Hold your place there, if you would, in 2 Timothy. But turn with me now to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, please, very quickly. Ephesians chapter 6, please, and look with me there at verse number 10. I was very thankful when I joined up and the recruiter told me, you join up and you get free clothes. We got free clothes. He didn't tell me that it wasn't a free wardrobe. It was of fashion and appropriate accessories. It was uniforms for winter, summer, spring, several different types of shoes. Anybody ever joined the military, you've been there, you know what happens. They run you through, they call the Green Monster. And you run through that, you go in there looking like a civilian, you come out there looking like a peach. They shave your head off, they come out wearing, I wore already green today in honor of this sermon actually. And you come out wearing fatigues and they give you a whole new set of garments. They equip you with the clothing that's necessary. Then boot camp and the rest of training prepares you to teach you what kind of equipment you're going to need to do the service that you perform for your country. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible tells us the equipment of the soldier of Jesus Christ. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, Ephesians 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Then the next verses are eight pieces of the armor of the child of God. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He gives you this equipment that you need as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, Christian, look at me. And the emphasis in those verses is take unto you the whole armor of God. Every piece is essential. There's two pieces of armor that have to do with your prayer life down at verse number 18. All these pieces of armor equip you for this life of a soldier of Jesus Christ. Now look at me. Do you realize this morning, friend, as you look at the pieces of armor, the helmet, the breastplate, righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, loins girt about with truth. That means they had a belt, as it were, strapped around the hip area where the sword would be kept in its scabbard. And then they had the shield for protection. Their feet were shod and protected. The helmet was covered. You realize all eight pieces of armor for the Christian soldier. No pieces for the back. There's nothing to protect the back of a soldier. Because the soldier doesn't need anything for retreat. If you're in the fight, you better be going forward here. Because there's no backing up armor for the child of God. Every piece of this equipment is essential and necessary. That's why he emphasized the whole armor of God. Well, I've got my salvation and that's what I need. Good, you have the helmet of salvation. Wonderful, you have the helmet of salvation. How important, protects the mind, protects the thought processes. Need to have a no-soul kind of salvation. Boy, that's important. But too many Christians, that's all they have. They just got the helmet of salvation, that's all. Just the protection of their mind. They know that they're saved. They know they're going to heaven. Wonderful, but there are seven other pieces that are necessary. And you need every piece in the battlefield of the Christian life, friend. All of the pieces of this equipment are necessary. You and I need to realize if we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we need all of the armor of God. We need every piece of this equipment. Take unto you the whole armor of God. It must be equipped. You must be familiar with the use and the importance of each of those pieces. Now look at me. We're not going to cover them all this morning. I want you to go home and read them. They're very self-explanatory. The loins girt about with the truth. The Bible is the truth. By the way, there is an emphasis over and over and over and over again in this equipment on the Word of God. Why loins girt about with truth? Because of the Word of God. See, a soldier needed to have the belt with a scabbard in it where he could keep his sword so he didn't want to get in the battle and go, oops, forgot my sword. He'd have it with him wherever he went. He had the sword of the Spirit in his hand. That's the Bible. Shield of faith, that's living by the Bible. Breastplate of righteousness, that's doing what the Bible says. All of it's around the Word of God. Listen to me, friend. Every piece of armor you need as a child of God in this good soldier of Christ principle comes in the relationship with this book right here. The Word of God. And how important it is we have a good relationship, a right relationship with the Word of God. It will equip you as a good soldier. Doesn't mean own one. I should have brought them out this morning. I got all the pieces of the armor back here I use in the series of messages that I preach, and helmet and breastplate and sword and all those things. Every piece of it that's there. You know, that's just a display piece for most Christians. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you have one on display at home? You got one of the big family Bibles with the hippie Jesus on it, or there on the little stand on the coffee table or over in the corner somewhere. Yeah, I got a Bible. Does that do you any good? It's a Bible lying there on a table. Is that really, that's effective? Just walk past it and kind of like osmosis, it sort of jumps on you when you walk by it? Or does it mean you have to have a relationship with the book? You read it. You commit it to your heart and your mind. You put it into your life. See, it all revolves around the Bible. And Christian, a good soldier has the right equipment. You don't get into this thing thinking you trust Christ, all I have to do is have my salvation. If that's all you have enough to go to heaven on. But as far as living the life here goes, you need every piece. He said, take unto you the whole armor of God. Learn to line your life up with the Word of God and let God's equipment be your protection in this life of a good soldier. No armor for the back. We're well equipped to go forward as a child of God. No retreat in this Christian army. You know what makes you a good soldier? Number three is expectations. Look at verse 12, please, of Ephesians 6. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The Apostle Paul talked about having a war that was going on inside of him. Now look at me this morning. A good soldier expects and understands that we're in a battle. And you are this morning. There's a battle going on in this room right now. You know, when I start the message, I ask you not to get up and move around and turn off your cell phones and all that sort of stuff. That's not just a statement. It's because distractions in a service cause people. Inevitably, someone will get up and walk out and people have to watch them walk out. I guess they've never seen someone walk before. It's amazing how one fly can create a distraction in a church service. And people will sit there and watch it. Unbelievable. Now, when they're at home, they don't sit there and watch the flies. Get a fly swatter, kill it, and move on. But the truth of the matter is, it's fascinating. You see, because there is a battle that goes on in here. Now, listen, there is the battle for a good soldier. They understand. There is the battle that goes on around us. And there is the battle that goes on within us. Paul said, "I have a war going on inside of me. Flesh against the spirit. Carnal nature, old life against the new life." And they fight each other all the time. Got a war going. Galatians chapter 5, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary, it says, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, there's constant battle going on inside of me. On top of that, there is a battle going on around me in my life. It's a spiritual warfare. The things that happen to you in your life day in and day out, those are not accidents. Those events that come your way, oh, that was just an accident. No accident, friend. You and I are on a spiritual battlefield. Now listen very carefully this morning. And it's not like it's the battlefield is over there and we go to the battlefield. One thing that's changed about the conflict America is in today, it's so different from our previous battles that we faced. We knew where it was in Korea. We knew where it was in Vietnam. We knew where it was in World War II and World War I. There was a battlefield. There was a battle area. You went to the battlefield. You came home. The conflict America is in today is a conflict with Islamic extremist terrorists. That is in the four corners of this earth. It is everywhere. It is around us. I was talking to one of the marshals up here at Shasta Dam, and he was talking about how they have video surveillance on the dam. And they have it immediately, they have it linked up to the FBI headquarters and CIA headquarters so they can do face identification on people who come there. I said, "Have you had any terrorists show up in Shasta Dam in Redding?" He said, "Yes." You want to run home right now and get the furniture on the roof, don't you? I said, "It's everywhere. Are you listening to me?" I said, "It's everywhere." That's why America cannot show weakness to terrorists. They will come after us. They've already done it. We cannot do this. You can't sit down and negotiate with terrorists. It doesn't work like that. Now listen carefully this morning. And you and I, friend, are on a spiritual battlefield. "Well, I that's not my life." Yes, it is. It's here. It's there. I'm not saying get scared this morning. "Oh, the bugger is after us." No. It's a battlefield, friend. You live on a spiritual battlefield around you and within you. That's why you must have the right equipment. And a good soldier has the expectations of the fact when you get out of bed in the morning, friend, you better put your armor on because the battle is beginning. It starts the moment you wake up. It starts as soon as you walk out your door. It starts as soon as you pick up your telephone. It starts at the workplace. It starts at the school place. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your city. It's in your church. It's in your life. It's in your heart. It's everywhere that we go. And a good soldier has the expectation that it's a fight. And that's what we're in. So there can't be any AWOL stuff. You can't say, "Well, I just won't fight." Sorry, but the enemy won't let you do that. See, there are some today who think, "Well, if we just make peace with all our enemies, they'll be at peace with us." Ridiculous. No, you don't get to do that. You make peace means you have to yield. You have to surrender to these people. That's the only way to make peace with them. And if anybody's got any sense, we're not doing that. America doesn't surrender. Christian, you don't get to surrender to the enemy. See, the enemy we're facing around us is Satan. Now, 1 Peter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring kitten, walks about meowing." No. The Bible says the adversary is the devil. He is a roaring. That's right, he is a lion. You ever seen him make peace with lions? See those idiots that went up here and stayed with the grizzly bears? And what happened? The bears ate them. And that was sad, but then I thought, that was stupid. You're in their place trying to live like a bear and you're a guy. You're going to get eaten. And they ate them. But I've never seen anybody try that with lions. Go out in the savannah in Africa where we were a couple years ago and go out there and live among the lions and try and make peace with them. Put an arm around one of the big hairy manes, you know, and just say, "We're friends now. And since I'm friendly with you and you're friendly with me," and put out a little Barney tape and play the song, "I love you, you love me, and we're all one big buffet." It's what it is. He'll eat you alive. You know it's true. Yes? Christian, look at me this morning. Don't you understand? A good soldier expects the fact that it's a battle. We are in a fight. We don't have a choice. We don't have an enemy who wants peace. He wants your destruction. He wants to destroy you. He is a thief and a robber, and he comes in the night to steal and to kill and to maim our lives and ruin people's lives. We don't have a choice. We are in this thing. You said yes to Christ. You became a soldier of Jesus Christ. You have to have the expectation it's a battle. The expectation that we don't have a choice in this thing. Cowards become victims first. They're the easiest ones to take. Now, since we're in a battle, we must be prepared and ready. As with a soldier who fights a battle today, the consequences are always before them. So Veterans Day came and went this week. Did you think about people who love their lives unto the death? Do you know why? Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. See, a good soldier understands this is about life and liberty. That's what this is about. If we don't win it there, it will cost us our lives for our people back home. So they went there and gave their lives for us. And the liberties we enjoy come at a price. You have to pay for that. And it's not a monetary thing. It's not about bucks. It's about blood. It's about the cost of liberty. A good soldier understands they're fighting for life and liberty. It's what it's about. A good soldier has these expectations in their mind. Now, wait a minute. What about a Christian soldier? Oh, you're fighting for your life. You're fighting for the lives of those who are around you. Could you imagine a parent who would willingly give their children to a lion so the lion could do his worst to them? Could you imagine that? How cruel, look at me, how cruel and how heartless could that person possibly be? No crime or no punishment would be sufficient for a parent who would take a child and drop them in a lion's den and let that child just be fed on by those lions, right? Agreed? It's repugnant, is it not? Okay, we have an adversary, his name is Satan. He's the god of this world. And that system he operates out there, ladies and gentlemen, is called the lion's den. That's the place where Satan roams and his domain is. Do you realize, Christian soldier friend, if you decide you're not going to fight, he will make sure your children are the first one to pay the price. He'll come right after you. And you might as well just go ahead and drop them in a lion's den and let Satan, the great lion, destroy their lives. It's Christianity today that's so much like the world, looks like the world, acts like the world, talks like the world, sounds like the world, has the world's philosophy, and the roaring lion is just ripping people to shreds. Churches like this are made fun of and belittled because, well, you've got a militant understanding. Hey, friend, I got an enemy out there. And it's not just about my life, it's about the life of children and grandchildren and fellow Christians. It's about liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It's about giving up your freedom as a child of God. Don't really do too well trying to outrun a lion. Don't do too well trying to outsmart one. Best thing is just stay away from them. You're talking about giving up your freedom, friend. See, if we didn't have men and women out there today, right now, standing the wall for us as Americans, the foreign shores of this of the world today, in jungles and desert places and mountains and little huts and dens and all over this place. If we didn't have people out there willing to pay the price for us today, we would not have our liberties and our freedoms. They'd be gone just like this. The world would not allow America to stay free if we laid down our arms and said, let's just all get along. That's garbage. We have to defend ourselves. There is liberty at a price. Christian, don't you understand? Your freedoms are protected by the fact that you're a good soldier who's in the fight for Christ. It keeps you free. No, it doesn't, Pastor Johnson, because then there's all the rules of Christianity. Look at me. Look at me. Yeah, there's rules, friend. I didn't know when I raised my hand and said yes to that black Marine lieutenant that day. When he got done, he just looked at me and smirked. Even though it was Air Force boot camp, which is kind of like advanced Boy Scouts, but yeah, knock it off. Even though it was that, I just found something out. I gave up my rights. That's the first thing they taught us when we got to boot camp. Besides shave your hair off and all that other stuff. The next thing they taught you was, you don't have any rights. You don't have the right of petition. You don't have the right of grievance. You have a right to shut your mouth, you maggot. That's what you had a right to do. I looked at my name tag. Johnson didn't say maggot. But I didn't feel real good about myself at that moment. But you know, you just learned to deal with it. You gave up your rights. You didn't get to complain about anything. Not to anybody that mattered. You complained to each other. You go to the drill sergeant and say, I think you're just being a little pointed. Have you ever considered anger management classes? Are you in touch with your inner child? Did you see that Oprah session? It could help you so much. Yeah, those guys are in touch, all right. Truth of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, a good soldier has expectations of things. It's a fight. It's a fight. Look at me. And you don't have a choice. You're in. So you have to be ready. Oh, by the way, and a good soldier has the expectation of, I'm in the fight till the battle's over. I'm in this thing until it's over. The great story of the raising of the flag at Fort McHenry, there in the Inner Harbor of Maryland, where Sir Francis Scott Key is out there in a prisoner ship in the harbor. He was a lawyer that was captured by the British and put on a prisoner ship. And he watched that little fort, and I've been to that little place there. He watched that little fort being bombarded by the mighty British Army, the beginning of the right in the Revolutionary War. He watched as that flag raised, and he watched as the bombs burst in midair, and the Navy unleashed on that little fort. And he watched the flag start to come down, and all of a sudden, it would go back up again. And then it would start to falter and it would go back up again. Just a handful of soldiers withstood the onslaught of the British Navy there. And all through that night, but by the dawn's early light, the flag was still there. But when they opened the fort, they found the reason why. As the flag would begin to falter, a soldier would run and hold the flag and hold the post. And as a bomb would kill him, the next soldier would run out and catch the flag and stand beside the body of his fallen comrade, and he would hold the post. And by the next morning, it was literally a column of bodies that held the flag in place. But for a flag, Pastor Johnson, well, first of all, it's the symbol of this nation. It's not a car wash rag. And you have the right to burn it. I believe in the Second Amendment, the right to hold a gun and shoot you if you try and burn mine. But wait a minute, but listen to me. But see, to them, it's not over till the battle's finished. Then when the battle's finished, then old soldiers can retire and go home. So the battle's on till we die or Jesus comes back. So it's a lifelong thing here. You're a lifer, my friend, this soldier of Jesus Christ. And a good soldier understands the importance of expectation. A good soldier realizes they endure. Back to 2 Timothy 2, and we finish here. A good soldier is to endure hardness, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 again, please, in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It says hardness. The whole point of boot camp is to prepare you to do what you're told, to equip you, get you ready for a life of serving your country. And I don't care whose boot camp it is. There are others that are obviously much more difficult than some, but all of them put demands upon you. It works, look at me, they work on your mind, they work on your body, they work on your obedience. They work on that principle. What difference does it make if your t-shirt is folded exactly to certain proportions? Which, by the way, I still do that. I know it's weird, I don't do it now, but I mean, I still do. I still want my t-shirts folded the way I did when I was in the military. They just got that in your head and it's just the way it is. But what difference does it make? How does that save America? Get that t-shirt folded wrong and see if the drill sergeant didn't explain to you how you just let the Russians in to destroy America. Because this sleeve is not perfect. You're standing there thinking, what difference does it make? It's a sleeve on a shirt. They work on your mind. They work on your heart. They work on your obedience. You're a Christian soldier. Endure the Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Fascinating, isn't it? I'm sorry, but that doesn't line up with the Osteen brand of Christianity. The laid-back, smiley, just let it all hang out, baby, do whatever you want. That doesn't sound like a hardness brand of Christianity. Does that sound right to you? That's not even biblical. Now, number two, it doesn't even make sense. How do you endure hardness as a good soldier in a church or a Christianity that asks nothing of you, puts no expectations on you whatsoever? 18 hours of KP, kitchen police, peeling potatoes, washing dishes for 18 hours. And you had to march over there and march back, and they always put them on the other side of the base camp, be the chow hall where you eat. For what? And then you go home and go on guard duty. Came back from KP, 18 hours of KP. I was exhausted. I had food on me, everything else. I just wanted to go lay down. The drill sergeant walks in. Johnson! Yes, sir! He says, guard duty, now! Get checked. And then I'm standing in front of the barracks, guarding the barracks. I've been up 18 hours. First thought comes to mind is, who's going to steal that? Got 50 people in there. It's two stories. How can you steal that building? Next thought is, you had to go on fire watch. Walk around and make sure the barracks didn't catch on fire while everybody else was sleeping. Now, don't do this. But I did. I'm standing there, and I got to thinking for a minute. I thought, you know, when you get really tired, you have weird thoughts that go through your mind. And I'm thinking, if I lay on those stairs right there, I'm standing next to a flight of stairs, went up to the stairs, the barracks. I look at those stairs, like, if I lay down those stairs, I could take me a nap and get some rest. If they catch me, they'll throw me in the brig, and I can lay down and get some rest. Either way, I'm going to get some rest. And I went over, and I laid down on the stairs. Asleep on guard duty. Someone could have stole the barracks. And I felt a burning sensation. I looked up and there was the doorway with the glass in it. And there was a drill sergeant standing there looking at me. Man, I jumped up. I got back in position. And he's standing right here on the other side of the glass, glaring at me with that smoky bear hat on. And I'm just standing there going, he's going to get me. 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 I'm going to jail. I'm going to jail. You are so stupid, Johnson. You are so stupid. And I just stood there and I watched. And I'm kind of looking out of the corner of my eye. And all of a sudden, he's gone. He went to get help. They're going to tear me up so bad it's going to take three or four people to haul me off. And I stood there at my post. Were you sleeping? Uh-uh. No. Heart. Waiting for him to come back and get me. And I stood at that door, and I stood at that door, and I stood at that door. My guard watches up, and I'm still standing at the door. And I'm waiting. He was the drill sergeant to the outfit that was next to us. I went and laid down, tried to sleep. Couldn't sleep. I think they're going to come in any minute. Johnson! Then I'm going to jail. Nothing. Slept about 5 minutes. Got up the next morning. Fall out formation. Run out. We're lining up in formation. The drill sergeant's walking. That guy that saw me, he's walking to the outfit next to us. He walks right past me. He stops. He turns around and he just looks at me. Puts that smoky bear rim of that smoky bear hat right on the side of my head and just looked at me. Good morning, soldier. And he walked off, and I thought, oh, you heartless sucker. You're going to play with me for the rest of the day. And he did. I was halfway through boot camp. Every time I'd see that man, he walked by, he'd stop. And he smiled at me, and I just said, go ahead and take me to jail. I can't take it anymore. That was 1971. I'm still expecting him to walk out that door and say, I got you, boy! You endure hardness as a good soldier. What? Go to church on Sunday night? I don't know about that. Oh, shut up and get in line. What's the big deal? Ladies and gentlemen, are we in this thing or are we not in this thing? Are we good soldiers of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to endure some obstacles, some difficulties, some toughening up of our lives? It's better than this whiny, simpering Christianity. When I went to church one time, somebody took my seat and I quit going. Good night! You've got to be kidding me. Like that teenage boy several years ago comes to our church and he goes, I'm sick and tired of my parents telling me what to do. I'm sick and tired of them bossing me around. I'm joining the Marines. And I said, go ahead, son. Go ahead. Come see me after boot camp, but you go right ahead, son. I think there's the wisdom of the ages on that one. He came back from boot camp with that number one haircut, walking tall and straight. I said, got you, huh, man? Didn't I tell you? Yeah, right. He goes, I know. It's all right, huh? There it is. No. We're going to run. We're going to go down to this church and go find us another church where they just kind of play the band thing, have a little show, get up there, pass the hat around a little bit, have a five-minute little do-si-do reverend sermon, get up and walk out of the building and go home to our sin and our lives the way that they are. And that is not a good soldier. I'm not trying to get you to line up with something that I think. I'm trying to help you to understand. A good soldier is one who in this verse says, next verse says, you live to please the one who chose you to be a soldier. It should have expectations. The Christian life should have expectations. High expectations. I was in an eating establishment outside of the city of London in Windsor while I was in the service. And there were those guys that came in. Those guys with the red jackets and the Tina Turner hats on. A big black hat, fuzzy looking hat. They come in there. They're sitting down. And you shouldn't really say anything, especially when there's four of them and one of you, but one of them said something or other, and I said, how are you guys doing that? They go, oh, you're a Yank. And I said, yes, I am. They go, you're in that second-class military. And I go, well, excuse me. I said, well, if I look like a bellhop standing in front of a motel, I don't think I'd be talking about anybody's military. See, but there was four of them. It's four British soldiers, one American. Even in the Air Force, I could take those four guys. That was no big deal. They made fun of the military. United States military. You've got to be kidding me. Greatest military on this planet is the United States military. They hire us to go show them how to do what they do. And you see, he allowed me to be a soldier. The one who gave me salvation. And so my life should be in such as to please him who had called me to be a soldier. He chose me to be a soldier. How wicked to go AWOL and just say, oh, I'm doing this my way. Imagine what the United States military would look like if everybody in the military decided to do it their way. You see these young boys and girls over there. They're kids. 18, 19 years old, just out of high school. Huh? Listen to them talking about they're doing what they do for America and for liberties and freedoms. Yeah. See, they got the idea of the expectation of a soldier. Do you understand this morning, friend? Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Let's stand to our feet, please.